Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. This morning, in my Easter sermon, we're going to have 3 points. Consequences, Peter, and redemption. Easter morning is all about redemption, God's redemption of all mankind. Now, why do we need to be redeemed? Because of the consequences of sin, which are death. And we are only redeemed through faith in Jesus Christ. Sin has consequences, and consequences are my first point. God's word, the Bible, assures us that sin has consequences. Now, here's a quick summary of God's story of sin and salvation. Mankind was created by God to live in relationship with Him, to live and work in the world, but primarily to have relationship with God. God gave mankind rules to follow for their protection, but more importantly, for the protection of their relationship with their God. Mankind was created for eternal relationship with God, not temporary relationship. We are created for life with God now as we live, and for eternity after we die. But mankind rebelled against God, choosing their own way rather than God's way. Their rebellion was sin. And that rebellion introduced sin to everyone else who would live, including you and me. No one would ever enjoy the perfect relationship with God that Adam and Eve had. Sin's consequences are separation from relationship with God now, and ultimately, death and eternal separation from God. God's people continued to rebel and sin against Him, so God sent messengers, the prophets. God spoke through the prophets to His people, imploring them to return to His rules for living, to His commandments. But the people rejected the prophets. The people rejected God, choosing instead to live in rebellion and sin against God. In addition to talking about repentance and returning to God, though, the prophets also spoke about Messiah, the Savior who would one day arrive to restore God's order, to bring, as Isaiah wrote, to bring good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. God's Messiah was expected at the time Jesus was born. The Jewish nation was looking for Messiah. And ultimately, that Messiah arrived and was revealed to be God the Son, the second member of the Trinity, Jesus Christ. God the Son took on flesh to live as a human being, to live the only perfect life, and with a purpose to serve as the once and final offering, the once and final sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. He was the final lamb that was to be slain. Jesus lived with the purpose that He would be killed, and on Good Friday, we remembered that after His brutal torture, while hanging on the cross, Jesus breathed His final breath, and He stopped living. Jesus died, and in His death, He paid the price for the consequences of all sin. Today, we celebrate the culmination of God's plan of salvation and redemption as we remember that Jesus did not stay dead. He did what He said He would do. On the third day, He rose again. He's the only one to be resurrected from death, never to die again. Jesus conquered death once for all, and now Jesus lives. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus lives so that by faith in His name, men and women, boys and girls, all who believe in Him will be released from the consequences of sin and live in restored relationship with God now and receive eternal life in God's presence upon death. So let's review our first point, consequences. Do all people sin?
Yes.
Okay, you seem pretty convinced of that. Are all dead in their sin? Yes. Okay, not quite convinced about that either. You must be awake. It's later in the day. We've had sugar. Are all separated from God apart from faith in Jesus?
Yes,
that's better. One last question. Is one sin worse than another sin in God's eyes?
No.
You need to be convinced of that. That's important. So everyone sins. Every one of you is separated from God because of sin apart from faith in Jesus. None of you can stop sinning. Apart from God's act of redemption in Jesus, you, each of you, are dealing with the consequences of sin, which are separation from God now and for eternity. Those are some very severe consequences. So, following logic, if all sins are the same in the eyes of God, none worse than the other, if you murder another person, then you are condemned to be separated from God. If you lie, even a little lie, then you are condemned to be separated from God. If you covet someone else's cell phone, or automobile, or flower garden, or chia pet, if you covet anything that belongs to someone else, then you are condemned to separation from God, apart from faith in Jesus. Sin has severe consequences. In this world, it may seem that bad people get away with things, but God tells us through His Word that there are real and severe consequences for sin, which are only satisfied through the shedding of Jesus Christ's blood, from His death and resurrection, and only through faith in His name. Now I want to ask you another question. Have you ever made a mistake so bad that you considered ending your life over it? Or have you been in a situation so terrible that you thought there was no way out, there was no hope left other than death? There are real consequences for sin, and there are real consequences in life. Whether your mistake might involve driving too fast, or driving while impaired, or texting while driving, or any other situation not involving driving, life has real consequences. And when faced with severe consequences, the human being's tendency is to seek to escape those consequences in any way possible, even if it means death. God's word and God's plan clearly reveal that death is not an escape. Death is simply a fast track to eternity and to eternal consequences if one does not know Jesus Christ. Humiliation and regret, fines and punishment, life in prison, suffering severe consequences for your actions, however terrible or difficult, is still life worth living. It's life given to you by God. Death is never an option. It's certainly not anyone's perfect choice or plan to suffer consequences, but it's still life, and every life can still be redeemed. Live to the glory of God and for the blessing and benefit of others. Every life can be redeemed by the power of Jesus. Amen? We now turn our attention from our first point, consequences, to Peter. If you want to follow along, we're on page 853 in the Blue Pew Bibles, or you can turn in your own Bibles to Mark chapter 16. In our gospel reading from Mark 16, we're presented with Peter. Now you may have noted, but Peter is the only disciple mentioned in Mark's resurrection account. He's the only one mentioned by name. Peter is a Jesus follower whose example can bring hope to anyone, anywhere, facing anything. Mark chapter 16 tells the historical narrative of that Sunday morning after the Sabbath, the third day after Jesus' execution, death, and burial. Faithful Jewish women are waiting until the Sabbath is over. They're obeying God's Sabbath regulations, and they head out early Sunday morning to Jesus' burial place to care for his body with spices. They find, instead of the expected sealed tomb, they find an open tomb with a man in a white robe sitting inside. Mark writes in verse 5, the women were alarmed. Well, that translation of the Greek word kind of misses what Mark was trying to say about the women. It's better to say they were thrown into terror. They were not doing well. Verse 6, the angel tells the women that Jesus is no longer dead, but he's alive. He's resurrected from the dead. And then we read verse 7. The angel continues, but go, tell his disciples and Peter that Jesus is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. So the angel says, go, tell his disciples and Peter. Now this is an angel speaking on behalf of Almighty God. You agree? Don't you think he'd be aware? I'm not an English major, but tell his disciples would include Peter, right? The angel should understand that saying, go tell the disciples and Peter would be redundant. So why is Peter singled out? Well, I propose to you it was because Peter needed it. Peter needed to hear more than any of the other disciples that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead, that he was alive. Peter, at that moment, was so low, so distraught, so humiliated, so incredibly without hope, that he needed to know even more than the others that Jesus was alive. Peter was suffering severe consequences, and Peter needed redemption. Now remember who Jesus was. This is Peter, who was handpicked by Jesus to follow him. This is Peter, who was declared by Jesus to be the rock upon whom the church, Jesus' church, would be founded. Well, Peter was all that, and at the same time, he was pretty much a train wreck of a disciple. Right after being declared the foundational rock for Jesus' church or Jesus' faith community, Peter offends and is strongly rebuked by Jesus with the famous exclamation of Jesus to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me." I imagine that rebuke from Jesus would have stung and stayed with Peter. How could it not? Peter questioned Jesus' declaration that he would be killed and 3 days later rise again, and Jesus rebuked him, "Get behind me, Satan." And there's even more to Peter's failure, a lot of which we're going to talk about right now that happened in less than a 24-hour period, starting with their final Passover meal together. During that Passover meal, when you read the Gospel of John, Peter argues with Jesus about Jesus wanting to wash his feet. And Jesus has to rebuke Peter and put him in his place. Then at that same dinner, Peter proudly declared, "I will never fall away or abandon you, Jesus." And he was promptly rebuked again, with a prediction from Jesus that before the night was over, Peter wouldn't just abandon Jesus, he would deny him 3 times. Then, shortly after the dinner, maybe an hour later, Peter is selected by Jesus with 2 others to sit vigil with him while Jesus went off and prayed. And Peter fell asleep 3 different times, each being awakened by a distraught Jesus. Remember in the garden, Jesus was so anxious and distraught that he was sweating blood. And three times he has to wake up Peter. Three times Peter has let Jesus down. If you're not getting the gist here, Peter's not having a good night. During Jesus' arrest, Peter, in a rage, lashes out with his sword, cutting off a man's ear, which leads to yet another rebuke from Jesus. Put your sword away, no more of this. Then shortly after, we're still in the same evening, moving into morning, Jesus, during the middle of the night trial, Peter's recorded in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all recorded, where Peter flatly denies knowing or following his master, Jesus. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record that after his denials of Jesus, Peter departs the scene bitterly weeping. This is a broken man. He's shattered. This is the Peter to whom the angel includes his instructions to the women. Go tell the disciples, but especially tell Peter. He needs to hear this. Perhaps Peter was withdrawn from the others, severely distraught by his failure and denials. I imagine he's reliving in his mind all of his failures and all of Jesus' rebuke, his stinging rebukes, all the while imagining he's beyond forgiveness, beyond redemption, beyond hope, that he would deserve the death that Jesus had just suffered. Remember, at this point, Jesus is dead. And Peter is without hope. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there without hope? Perhaps some of you are there right now. In a failure, especially severe failure, all hope is elusive. When it would be best to remember the good things in life, the good things around you, instead, our human nature leads us not just to contemplate the current failure, but then we tend to spiral down as we recall every other significant failure, and we heap upon ourselves shame as we remember every failure. So here we have Peter, a failure, surely feeling worthless, having messed up everything beyond repair, denying his master. Peter before us is a man beyond hope. Do any of you remember that we also had a reading from Acts this morning, Acts chapter 10? And the picture of Peter without hope doesn't exactly jive with our reading from Acts chapter 10, does it? In Acts 10, we find the same Peter. Just after, or sometime after, Pentecost, the day of Pentecost, where he preached boldly in the street, here he's now passionate, confident, fearless, standing in Cornelius's home, proclaiming the good news in the name of the resurrected Messiah, Jesus. So what happened? What changed? What happened to Peter without hope? How did he become this new Peter? That brings us to our third point. We've covered consequences and Peter, and now we look at redemption. This, we see in Peter, is redemption. And this is the good news in Jesus Christ. Peter didn't rally himself to feel better. He didn't get over it and suck it up. Peter was redeemed. He was forgiven. He was restored by his resurrected master and savior, Jesus Christ. All consequences from his failure and sin were atoned for by Christ's blood on the cross. And Peter, when he encountered the risen Lord Jesus, was recommissioned by Jesus to love his lambs, to feed his lambs, and to take care of his sheep, to go into the world and preach forgiveness and salvation and new life, eternal life, only in the name of Jesus. Peter's redemption is an example for every one of you. That you are never too bad, never too far, never too messed up, or never too much a failure. You're never beyond the redeeming embrace of Jesus Christ. Peter's example is one of hope that you and me and the world around us, they need to hear. The world in this life is not all that there is. There are real consequences for sin, and there is real emptiness in separation from God in this life. There's a real hopelessness, real pain, real spiritual death being encountered, perhaps by some of you if you do not yet know Jesus. But definitely all around us, in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, by people who do not know Jesus Christ, who do not have salvation and redemption in his name. Jesus lived, Jesus died, and Jesus conquered death. All consequences of sin were taken care of once and for all, so that all who believe in him will not die forever. So that all who believe in him will be like Peter, forgiven, restored into right relationship with God. So that all who turn in faith to Jesus and follow him will have new life now, and a peace that surpasses anything that the world can offer and that is beyond human understanding. All who follow Jesus will participate in God's kingdom work. You will have new purpose, like Peter, of proclaiming salvation in Jesus' name. Let's read this together. Bringing good news to the poor, binding up the brokenhearted, proclaiming liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor. Through faith in Jesus, we are on mission with him to proclaim salvation in his name. Today, no matter how low you may be or how far you may feel from God, you are never beyond the redeeming arms of Jesus. What burdens are you carrying today? What regret? What sorrow? What bitterness? What despair are you holding on to? Today, I implore you to submit and release those burdens to the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Today, whether seeking to renew your faith and life in Christ, or if it's for the first time that you're turning in faith to Jesus, I implore you, surrender to Jesus. Choose redemption. Choose life. And submit your heart to the risen Lord Jesus, who is who he said he is, the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way to the Father. Jesus offers redemption and restoration and hope to each and every one of you. I pray you will receive it. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.